Hi there. Welcome and thank you for listening in. I'm super stoked to have you with me. My name is Philip Hartman and Being Dad is a show for dads. I meet and speak to unique dads, asking them to impart their wisdom and to share their experiences as dads with us. The reason for being dad is my own story. I became a father 5 times within 13 months. Yes, 5 times, 13 months. I was seriously underprepared and I struggled to find inspiring content for myself. By meeting and connecting with these men, I'm trying to learn all there is about being a dad. We cover heart-to-heart topics between two dads, and our aim is to inspire other fathers. And with this, hopefully we can make a positive impact on families around the world.
The best advice I can give myself is probably to be the best version of yourself and to really see life as a path that you leave footprints, and now you leave these footprints with another person, and that this path shapes the world at the end of the day.
My next dad is Flo Jung. Flo is one of the most progressive windsurfers globally, and he's one of the only 3 Germans who can actually live off windsurfing. Not only is he a professional windsurfer, he's also an ocean adventurer and he's an environmentalist. And obviously, he's a very passionate dad. I've known Flo for a good while. He's been visiting Cape Town for a few years now, and we've surfed together and we both train in the same fitness studio. I like Flo a lot because, despite his amazing successes in the windsurfing world, he's a very humble human. I was always intrigued by the lifestyle he led, and when he agreed to sit with me on dedicated.com, naturally, I was super stoked. He's in a very unique situation as a dad. He travels maybe 8 months out of the year chasing the wind, and I was really interested to hear how he makes his life as a professional athlete and a dad actually work. He's lucky enough that his wife and son are able to travel with him most of the time, but still, this was very interesting to me. Naturally, traveling to all these places he surfs at, his son grows up experiencing all these different cultures. Flo is very aware of this and he tries to incorporate all of these influences into his daily interactions with his son. Flo is very passionate about conservation and we talk about his upcoming ocean crossing and the impact we are having as a dad and of course actually taking responsibility for the impact we are having on our own children by our own choices and actions. My key takeaways as a dad were, if I eat chocolate, they can eat chocolate. Be intentional around your own actions and be aware of the impact your decisions have on your kids. And thirdly, spend as much time with your family as you possibly can. With this, please enjoy dedicated.com with Flo Jung. Florian, we're sitting in beautiful Cape Town. Thank you very much for joining me on Being Dad. Just a quick intro about Flo. He's an amazing athlete and also very conscious about the environment and our ecosystem, which is beautiful. Flo has a 2-year-old son, Keanu, and you're married to Marie, who's 33. Florian has been repeatedly placed in the top 15 to 20 in the last 8 years in the world ranking, right? And Florian, you've been top 1 or 2 in Germany for the past few years as well in your sport of choice, windsurfing. It's amazing. Amazing. Although you told me competition is not your focus, you're very much trying to combine your sports with your projects around the environment with a special focus around saving the oceans, which I really applaud as a surfer. Amazing.
Thanks.
If you ever need crew for this project you just told me, please let me know. And I have a little discussion with my wife next door and see if I can't...
Probably with 5 kids, yeah. It's going to be easy.
We'll bring them along.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked to have you and sit with you. We want to thank your sponsors, Dakine, Gun Sales, Starboard, and Surf Action. Thank you very much for... You guys are also part of making sure that Florian can sit with me and can work on these projects and that he can follow his passion.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Another amazing project I want to mention is moncoeur.de. Can you spell this for our listeners, Florian?
Yeah, this is my NGO that we're doing here in South Africa. Like me and my wife, we have been coming here for the last 10 years. And then we saw that in South Africa, there are a lot of differences between black and white, rich and poor, and we actually just wanted to change something in this regard, or just have a little impact here. And then we started a little NGO that is basically producing products here in South Africa in the townships. Like that, we are creating jobs, and then we sell that these products in Germany and fund schools here in South Africa. So it's kind of like a positive cycle.
Yeah. So you're making bracelets and t-shirts and accessories, say, and so you sell them in Germany. And I think you're supporting 400 children by now with this project. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
It's good because we spend a lot of time here in South Africa, usually in like 3-4 months a year. And then if there's no wind, we always have something to do. And it feels like also to give something back, to share our luck. You know, we have a really privileged life in Europe, and that's a good way to give something back.
Yeah, that's very true. Well done, man. Another project I want to quickly mention is you want to windsurf across the Atlantic together with a buddy, you told me. The project is called deepblueexpedition.com, right? You're currently looking for sponsors. If the Patagonia happens to listen, we would love to hear from you guys. You can either click the link below here or visit deepblueexpedition.com. The guys are, when are you going to do this challenge, Flo?
Actually, it's like the whole idea was to have a new challenge. I have been going to the same competitions, doing the same moves, doing the same trips the last few years. And one of my best buddies from Morocco, we thought about a way to experience something unique. And I did an ocean crossing from the Caribbean to France a few years ago on a boat.
Wow. Okay.
And then we thought we can actually try to windsurf it as well, which is a really physical challenge because we want to break the world record, which will be 25 days.
Wow.
And that means we have to windsurf for 7 hours on a daily basis, which will be like more than a marathon every day.
Wow.
We'll see if it happens. We see if we find the budgets, and then the whole idea around it would be that we are doing a challenge, but we want to also create a community for sustainable lifestyle, to show why the ocean is so important, to show all the aspects, how the ocean works and how we can avoid that future generations
will basically sit without our ocean.
Yeah, without the ocean or without fish, or that we simply don't have a way to survive. And I think nowadays this is the biggest challenge. And I think we as athletes, or if we can find solutions to combine a sport with a social or an environmental issue, then people get attracted hopefully act.
Yeah, and that's exactly the topic we're talking about, future generations. You're a son of two, like we said. Can you, this is actually a perfect bridge in terms of your challenge as a dad who's working, obviously traveling, you're following the wind, right? That's how you work. And your family. Can you share a little bit around these challenges and how you solve your work-life situation with your wife and your son on a daily basis?
Basically, like, I have a son now for, like you said, for 2 years. And it's one of the, probably the greatest experience you can do in a lifetime, to be able to have a kid and to share or to see it growing up. And if you have that privilege to see it every day, then it's even better. And on one side, I have to travel a lot, which is difficult because on some competitions I don't want to take my family, I want to focus, and it's also, if I have promotion events, it doesn't make sense to take them all over the place. But
you travel like 8 months a year or something, hey, just for context.
Eight, 9 months a year. And but on longer trips, like when I'm training here in South Africa, it's really a great possibility to take them over here as well. And my son is going now to the crash, to the kindergarten. And I think for him it's great because he makes so many different experiences, even though he's quite young, but he has to adapt every day. And that will probably also shape his character in a way. For example, yesterday I picked him up at the kindergarten, and he was chatting to a girl from Malawi. She told him stories in her language. He's said something in German, and they both kind of found a way to connect. And
amazing.
And it's great to see that there are so many different cultures. For example, we went to Fiji, and then he learned how to say Bula, which is that basically means hello and goodbye. And then he goes to a bakery in Germany and says Bula Bula all the time. And people don't know.
Yeah, my kids speak four languages. They speak to everybody, everything, all over the show. And do you, so I know this is super funny. And so this is one of the upsides. So your child actually is exposed to all these amazing experiences globally. You take both of them, I guess, your wife and your child, and you see, they get to see this. What are the downsides? What's the difficult part, and how do you solve this?
Well, on one side, I would like that he has a more of a rhythm, that he has friends that he is growing up with, or that he has always that routine where, well, he has a routine. He goes to bed and he wakes up, he takes a nap, but every day is different, because sometimes we are on a boat somewhere in the Pacific, then we are sitting on a plane for days, then we are a week here, a week there. So waking up in a different bed, it's always a bit tricky, but I think there are certain advantages for having that routine where you see your grandma or you see your friends, and we don't have that right now.
That environment and a bit of predictability.
Also it's really hard for us to also organize our lives, because my wife is an entrepreneur as well. She is an interior architect, and she has clients, she has calls, and I have to adapt to the wind on a daily basis. So I wake up in the morning, I check the forecast, and then I know how my day looks like. And if my wife tells me that she has an appointment Friday at 3 o'clock, then I have to tell her, well, I don't know if we're going to go filming or if we this wind or not, and then there's always a potential of conflict.
Yeah, so that's a classic example for any relationship, I guess. So how do you solve that? Who takes precedent? Is there a priority rule?
I think it's a bit weird, because when I remember my parents, they used to have really strict rules. My dad went to work, he earned the money, my mom was at home taking care of us. So the rules were really like, you have priority, and then maybe on the weekend you can do whatever you want to do. But in our family it's different, because I basically earn more money. So I have that passion also for my sport, and it's our main income right now, the money I make with my sponsors. But on the other side, I want my wife that she is doing her thing as well, because it's important for her life. And so we said, like, we want to do it 60, 40, 70, 30% that we try to share the times like this. And it's also for me sometimes hard when I come back from a trip where I went 3 weeks, and then I feel like that there's so much distance between me and my son that you have to spend time again with him to actually get that connection back again. Yeah. Because I guess a lot of daddies feel that way. The mother is always the first person in the life of a kid because of breastfeeding, because of so many.
Well, they have 9 months ahead of you in the womb.
Yeah. And then I don't try to. For me, it's a fact, and it's normal that when we play and he's asking when is mommy coming back, then it's not that he doesn't love me the same, but it's, you know, as a father, you have to understand that you are always the second officer on the ship, and that you have to slowly give your best in order to
I spoke to another dad. I know exactly what you mean. Sorry to interrupt. Someone said to me, earn your stripes. So you need to earn your stripes. That's exactly what I think what you're trying
and
to say.
It's just giving real efforts. And it's not that I want to be the same as my wife, but it's just the feeling of feeling that he really means or that he really sees a certain kind of importance in me, or like that there's a certain kind of connection between us. Yeah. And then when I spend, for example, here in South Africa, I have a lot of time and we go to the beach every morning, and then he shows me his world with like little birds, and we're looking for baboons, for monkeys, and these are moments that I really enjoy.
And do you have, and that's very beautiful, do you spend, obviously you spend time with intent, but what do you do with them? How do you try and instill these values of nature and preserving the world as it is in a certain affirmative way or in a intentional way? Or do you just let him find his own feet and see what happens, kind of give him guidance but let him do his own thing? Well, how do you do that?
I think in the way I try to be a good example for and teach him the values that I think are important, but in the end of the day I want that he creates his own life, that he creates his own little world, and then as you said, I want to be there as a guidance, but if he wants to play soccer or if he wants to dance, it's up to him. Yeah. And I just hope that we can experience a world where we both feel happy and where we see the daily gifts that we have been given or the life that we live in a way that we don't harm others, or that we give something back, and that we are part of a society that is doing something, has a positive impact,
makes an effort
on during the time we're here on this planet.
And if you think about it, he's now 2. If he becomes 100 years old, we'll sit in 2120. That's a long time. People always think about, the future, 20 years, 50 years. But in 100 years' time, this planet will be very different if we don't make a concerted effort in terms of making a change, right? So it is an important topic.
Yeah, I'm pushing the conscious or try to create awareness in certain aspects, because I'm in the ocean basically every day, and I did that before I had a kid, but since I have a kid, I see everything from a total different perspective. I don't know, you know, imagine he is my age and he's walking with his kid on the beach, and then they just see plastic everywhere, or there are no more fishes left. And I think now we have the chance to still do something, and then we can, it's our yeah,
it's our duty, really.
Duty to yeah. to yeah, right. show the kids how they should live and not
yeah.
how they that they shouldn't live like we are living now.
Yeah, amazing. At the moment, yeah. You saw this global movement, obviously, of children going on strike. Kids are showing us how to live, really, yeah. because we are not making the necessary changes. Another interesting topic we had the other day was the day of the birth. Your day of the birth was a bit stressy, hey? But obviously the most special day of your life. Can you share a bit how it went for you and
actually
tell us about it?
Went to a promotion festival, even though I knew it was quite close that my wife was giving birth. It was close to the due day. But I had to go there for to present a new eco-construction for board that I developed with my sponsors. It was a big thing, like everybody, the whole industry was there, and I was just about to go to the stage and present that
bling, 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 board. The phone rings.
Just when I wanted to enter the stage, I got a call from my wife. She said... something is not right. I'm here in the hospital, and we have to get an emergency
C-section, no.
Caesar cut, and yeah, you better come home if you want to be there. And
yeah.
So I told the guys just stage, you know what, there are more important things in life to talk about boards. I want to be there for the birth of my son.
Yeah.
And then I think I went in 2 hours over every red light full speed back to my hometown, and then straight back to the emergency room. And
but you made it in time.
And 20 minutes later, I had a son.
Wow.
I remember that. On that drive, the 2 hours drive felt like forever, because I went through so many emotions. I didn't know, is he healthy? Do I make it? And I realized in that moment that my life is going to change forever. That I don't know why, but I started crying. Then I started smiling. Then I was worried. Then it was just... total mix of emotions, and I'd never experienced something like that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I was just super, super happy that everything went all right. And I suddenly had a little guy next to me.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And now you like fully, you'll do everything for him, right? That's what every father does.
It's I think crazy. Just in that moment, you realize that there's a switch. And it's not about your ego anymore. It's about being a team, being a family, and working towards a common goal that you want to share your values. You want to give back, or you just have a total different love. You know, before that, there was just your partner.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there's another person, and you have a total different kind of relation to that person, because it's always like I would cut off an arm suddenly if he needs it, and probably you can tell a whole different story with having 5 children.
Yeah.
It must be.
It's the same for one of 5. It's just the same.
It's just also the responsibility.
I only don't have 5 arms. And when you say team, so that's very interesting. How do you guys negotiate? So you and your wife. Do you talk about issues in education? Does she kind of take the lead? Do you make a plan beforehand? Do you both agree on everything, or do you disagree? How do you do that?
I think on one side we are kind of modern gypsies. We travel the world, and we don't make plans years ahead. We don't know where he goes to school. We don't know where we are next month. But on the other side, I think for us it was really important to get a certain structure as well. Yeah, you need to be organized in a way that that you find your own role in that little new enterprise that you call a family, because at the end of the day, you need to be productive. And I realized for my job that basically 50% of my time gone now because I have a kid. I always have to make sacrifices, or I want to make these sacrifices because I want to spend as much time as possible with my family. And then there's a friend who's saying, hey, let's go out, have a beer. And then you say, no, I actually want to be at home. And I know that tomorrow I wake up at probably 6 o'clock. And if I go out with you now, then...
Yeah, you miss that time with your boy.
I miss that time. And the next day is going to be fucked because I didn't get enough sleep. Yeah. And yeah.
So priorities shift a lot when
kids children come. Priorities shift a lot. And I think you think that you can do both. Like, I always told myself, if I ever have a child, then I'm not going to be like these boring moms and dads that are just sitting at home every day and they don't have a social life anymore. And they're just doing
kids.
Kids. And but then you realize, well, there's no other way if you want to be a good daddy, let's say, and that it also gives you just that joy and that fulfillment.
Very rewarding.
Exactly, as being a daddy.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. Yeah, you cannot do both. If you do want to spend the time, you have to spend the time somehow, and you can't make new time, so priorities need to change. Yeah, that's very interesting.
And also, in terms of my work, I'm working most of the time on the water, which is I'm training, I'm doing projects, I'm trying to be creative, but also have to have a lot of time on admin stuff to organize projects and to make plans, my travel plans for competitions and stuff. And I realized that a lot of this time I have to, if I have any distractions, I'm not productive as I should be. Before I had the freedom to do whatever I want, and now I have to be really on time, on deliver, and it's basically what everybody has to do in his job.
Yeah,
but when you have a child or a family, you have, at the end of the day, I need to come home with some cash. Otherwise, the system won't work.
Yeah. And that's interesting because I guess situations are changing where, you have a situation where your wife works and you work. So the roles aren't as clearly defined as they used to be. Yet at the same time, both of you feel responsible to make it work. And what I find so interesting is that you share the responsibility of parenting as well as provider. She's also very much part of the providing force in your ecosystem, and so are you. But you're also very much part of the parent, the dad who's there and who spends time.
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
But I think in nowadays it's basically a new direction where a lot of families tend to go because the however you call it, of women start to shift in a way. So they usually have also, they want to do careers, they want to have their own life. And so I think for us, for men in general, the new society is changing a lot with possibilities of the internet. You can do a lot of stuff from your home. So
yeah, I work from home every day.
Yeah. That's basically, and these clear roles don't exist anymore in modern society.
I find you have to be careful that work doesn't dilute. Doesn't get diluted with private life, or private life doesn't get diluted with work, because you kind of take your work with you on your cell phone if you want. And I struggle with really making a hard cut. I literally put the computer away and I put the phone away And yet I catch myself checking emails anyways while I'm in the house at home. You know, that's also difficult. That's also a reality of a shifting society. But you're right, it is a big opportunity for dads that society is waking up to this new reality.
And just making that point here with using your cell phone a lot, like I know families that I try to, if I work, I work. And if I'm with my family, I try to be with my family or with my son. And then there's no cell phone, there's no distractions. There's just a pure discovery of what is around us. And but I really fear that this internet bubble or this social media disease, I would say, is spoiling a lot of children. And for sure, I see in the kindergarten in Germany, not so much in Africa, but in Germany, people grow up with having a cell phone in the morning.
In the kindergarten.
In the kindergarten.
100% cell phone penetration.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah.
That's
on
sad.
On the way to the kindergarten, they don't want to, like, they're bored in the car, so they use a cell phone, they watch a series, and I don't want my child to have a life like that.
No.
I mean, I can't probably avoid it sooner or later. It's up to him what he's doing out of his life. But I think there's certain dangers in that perspective that people don't see the real, they have so much distractions around them that they don't see the real, priorities in life, or what is really out there, what you can achieve, and what you can do with your own visualization.
Yeah. You told me that a lot of kids in Germany or in Europe specifically don't want to do sports anymore.
Yeah.
And there's a trend in Europe.
People sit in front of their phones, doing a fake life on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
Fortnite. Computer game. Which feels social, but that's why it's so evil, because you're speaking to your buddies over your headphones whilst you're playing the game. So it feels like you have a social interaction, and you do in a sense, and it is, some sort of a social interaction, but it's very different than to what you and I grew up with. Grew up without
but
internet.
Maybe this is how the life is supposed to be, but I hope there are different ways to spend time still with real things.
Yeah, maybe put a screen on the sail or something.
Yeah.
Pierre said the same. He's very scared. You know Pierre de Villiers, so from Scarborough. So he, his son gets absorbed by the internet, literally. He just disappears pretty much, you know, like mentally. And Pierre was like, it worries me because he's so ingrained in this interaction that happens there, that takes place. But at the same time, he doesn't want to disallow it, or he can't anyways. He's 18, he'll just go somewhere down the road to the Camel Rock Cafe and use the Wi-Fi there, you know. But he says, well, you know, life changes, and what needs to be achieved is that there's a healthy kind of balance, and then it's fine. Just when it goes into an extreme, as anything in life, then it becomes problematic. So I guess the reality of things is that we have to teach or try and teach the children that the devices are valuable, but they have their time and place. And we will not be able to do away with screens into the future. You know, it's just what it is. My children are, the babies are 20 months, and two of them are super screen addicted. If you put a screen in front of them, they'll be like, wah! And you take it away, they start screaming.
Yeah.
I'm not addicted, but I guess emotionally triggered.
But I guess, like, this is the hard part of, as a dad, you have to learn that how, you know, every little thing that you're doing is basically going into the character, or you shape your child's future with what you do every day.
Yeah.
And for example, I started giving him a juice once a day because I wanted to drink. I like juice as well, and then 2 nights after that, he wakes up in the at night and says, "Daddy, juice, juice." And then you're like, "Well, okay, I do it once. I'm really tired." And then
now he wants juice always.
Now he doesn't drink water anymore, for example. So you have to teach him again, or you realize yourself, "Well, fuck."
Yeah, you have a big impact.
This is a mistake that I did. But how can I find, like, how can I actually learn to be a good dad with allowing him things, and but also setting borders where I say, okay, I'm your friend, but I'm also have the responsibility to say, this is how you do things, and if you don't do the things, you get punished in some kind of way, or
there's a consequence.
There's a consequence. Yeah.
So I spoke about this to Warren Rustand. He was a professional athlete as well in his younger days, and he draws a lot of parallels to sports in education. So he says there's certain boundaries within the everything that happens within the playing field is fine. As soon as you leave those rules, consequence.
Yeah.
But within the playing field, everything goes. And you can negotiate and you can talk about it and you can, you know, they can have their own kind of will if you want, but certain things are totally non-negotiable.
Yeah.
For him, that is drinking alcohol, being irresponsible in terms of harming others and those kind of things. And there's no room for negotiation, nothing.
But it's like, because you are always that that example of how things work.
Yeah, of course, you're the role model.
You have to, like, if I eat chocolate, he has the right to eat chocolate as well. So I really like, even though it's not the healthiest thing in the world, I like to eat my Nutella bread in the morning. But then I want to be world champion one day, you know. No, just kidding. But then it's like you have to hide it, or you just don't eat it anymore.
Yeah, but if you hide it, that's also not right. Yeah. How can you tell him not to do something? Yeah. But then you're being a hypocrite.
No, but I wouldn't put it on the breakfast anymore. Yeah, but then I eat it while he's in the kindergarten or whatever. You know?
Okay,
but it's just like that. You really have to say, well, if he's not allowed, I'm not allowed as well. Yeah. And you have to kind of stick to that rule as well.
Yeah. So many dads who are intentional about this have told me this. They have said, Pierre, for instance, Warren Rustin, for instance, they said things like, if you drink, if you eat bad food, if you behave in a way that's not appropriate, how can you tell your children not to? They won't take you serious. They know, you know, now he's 2, but he will be 4 and he will be 8 and he will be 10 and he will be 12. And then, you know, you kind of won't respect that position anymore because you do it yourself. You know, so it's a very, very good point. I'll actually make a point of being even more aware of my cell phone use after this. Okay, well, Flo, I think, is there anything else that you want to talk about? Otherwise, we wrap it up.
No, I think just in terms of, being a dad, I think it's one of the best things that can happen to you, and that if you ever go into that, or if you ever have that chance to be a dad, or don't be scared, take the responsibility and really enjoy the progress of spending time with another human being that is pretty close to related to you. And I think that first few years for me are the most important years maybe of your life as well, because you can be part of something so special. And I will always say, when my child was born, I was living in a love bubble.
Yeah.
And this love bubble is constantly getting bigger every day. And I don't know, probably when he's 14 and this is going to change in a way that he has his own life, and you're never that close to him anymore. to my son now. But I think I would just recommend that if you ever have the chance, spend as much as time with your family, with your son, and it will be the most rewarding feeling at the end of your life, I think, when you look back.
Awesome. With that, 100%. Thank you, Flo. Super. Thank you so much for listening in. I really hope you liked this session. If you did, please share this podcast. I'm sure you know someone who wants to hear this. Make no mistake, your shares are meaningful and they drive our success. So thank you for sharing. Thanks for listening in. Hope to catch you next time. Have an awesome day. Ciao.